Let the church say amen. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Let the church say amen. If you love God, say amen one more time. Amen. We're excited to be in the house of God one more time. I'm excited about this opportunity to share. My new life members are here, so I have to say this carefully. This is my second best place, favorite place on the planet. Amen. So we're excited about what the Lord is doing, what the Lord is sharing. This morning, we're going to jump a little bit. We're going to keep you in three chapters, but it's going to be right after each other. So those of you who have your Bible, I'm sorry, your iPhones, go with me to the Bible app. And let's go to Genesis chapter number 6. Amen. Verse number 16. Genesis chapter number 6, verse 16. And so the Bible readers, you guys can flip with me too. Amy said that we like technology. It makes life a little bit easier. It gets there a little quicker. Amen. But Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 16. When you got it, say, I got it. Cool. It's at the front for those that are still flipping. All right, cool. So we're going to go there, and I'm going to read a couple different chapters because I need to paint a picture before we can really progress into the word this morning. So just bear with me. It's only three verses that I read, but like I said, they'll be in continual chapters. We'll be in Genesis 6, 7, and 8, but let's start in 6 first. All right. And I want you to hear what the Lord is saying in these particular passages. So verse number 16 in chapter number 6, it says this. It says, "You shall make a window." Somebody shout window. "For the ark, and you shall find it a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side, and you shall make it lower, second, and third decks." Now let's jump to chapter number 7, all right? Chapter number 7. So the main thing to remember in verse number 6 was he said that he was going to set a door in the side of it, all right? So now in chapter number 7, verse number 16 as well, I want you to hear this. "So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, they went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." Somebody say, shut him in. So who shut him in? All right. So the Lord shut him in. Now let's go to verse chapter number 8, and then we'll have our painting done, and then we can move forward. Genesis 8 and 1, it says this. "And then," somebody shout then. Oh, shout it loud. Shout then. "Then God remembered Noah, and then God remembered Noah." Does anybody need God to remember them? Anybody in a situation where it feels like God has forgotten? You're in the middle of something, and you're like, "God, did you forget about me? God, I'm still here." You know, like Zacchaeus, you'll climb up in the sycamore tree and you'll wave and you'll start shouting. You'll say, "Hey, God, remember me." So I needed to paint this picture because it's important to read the scripture. It says, first, there was an ark that was built. The Lord gave instructions to go in. He said, "I need you to set a door here, but I need you to put a window at the top." All right. And then chapter number 7, it says that the Lord shut him in. And then verse number 8 says, "And then the Lord remembered them." So what I want you to do is when you go throughout this week, I want you to read chapter number 6, chapter number 7, and chapter number 8. If I had time, we would go through all of it. Now, 6 is kind of boring. It talks about the dimensions of it. It says this number of cubits, this number of cubits. So it's not really anything entertaining there. Verse number 7, he talks about what to bring in. He says some unclean animals, bring all those things in, and the Lord shut him in. And then verse number 8, it says that the Lord remembered him. And so for a few minutes, if you allow me, I want to talk about how to deal with uncertainty. Anybody in some situations where it seems like things are uncertain? You're trying to figure out, how's this thing going to play out? You're trying to figure out, is any of this going to ever make sense? You're in a place where you're wondering, "God, I've been following your instructions. I've been following your commands. And now it seems like no matter how far I get down the road, it seems like it's not making sense." Is that anybody in here this morning? I want to help you deal with seasons of uncertainty. All of us have found ourselves in these particular seasons. Some of us, we may have been in a situation where we went to the doctor and he said, "Well, this is the diagnosis." And you know somebody else who's been diagnosed with the same thing, and you know what their fate was. So then you find yourself wondering, is this going to be the fate that I have to watch? Is this going to be the situation that I'm going to have to walk through? Is this the end that I have to look forward to? Anybody ever been in that place? Or maybe you're in a situation where you say, well, I've been laid off, and I got to take care of my kids, and the mortgage is due, and the car note's due, and I don't know how in the world we're going to make it from this month to the next month, because if truth be told, some of us live check by check, and when things happen to get us off our course, we begin to wonder, how in the world is this going to play out? You find yourself in a season of uncertainty. You're wondering and you're asking God, you're staying up late, you're fasting. You know, people will fast when they get desperate. They'll say, I've been praying all week and nothing's happened, so I'll fast today, and they'll fast from lunch. But that's about it. And they're doing it because they're seeking answers to the season of uncertainty. Can you imagine what Noah must have felt? Noah was given some instructions. He said, I need you to build the ark, and I need it to be specific because I'm getting ready to do something that you've never experienced before. Because, see, you have to understand, it's up until this point that the way that the world was watered, it said that a mist came up from the ground. But now the Lord began to speak to Noah. He said, now there's about to be a rain. A rain is coming, and this rain is going to be so detrimental that everything that's on the face of this earth is going to be wiped away. Everything's going to be gone. The only thing that's going to survive is you, your sons, your wives, and their wives, and all the animals that we put inside of this ark. So now Noah's in a season like many of us. He's in a season of uncertainty because he's asking God, God, you're telling me to do this, but I've never even experienced this stuff. So how am I supposed to survive? How am I supposed to thrive in a situation where I have no clue what's going on? So when you look at this, I was looking at this evangelist, and I was wondering. I said, now I understand the dynamics, the dimensions. But the Lord says, as you put the window up, I need you to put the window one cubic from the top. And I wondered, Gaddy. I said, why in the world would God not allow the window to be on the second deck? That way, Noah could have kind of walked by from time to time and looked to see what was going on. I wonder, why wasn't it on a deck where he had easy access to being able to just look out from time to time to see if everything was making sense? How many of you know that in a season of uncertainty, the first thing you have to do is accept God is a sovereign God? In your season of uncertainty, you have to admit and accept the fact that we serve a God that's sovereign. If I had time to tell the testimony, I remember when I broke my leg, and I remember laying in the bed, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm doing everything that you called me to do. Why in the world did you allow this to happen to me? Anybody ever prayed and talked to God like that? God, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm serving, I'm preaching, I'm teaching. Why in the world am I having to deal with this out of all people? Can I be a little more transparent? God, now I'm serving you, but down the street, every Sunday I'm getting dressed and ready to go to church. I see the boat connected to the truck, and they're going somewhere, and you're not on their mind. So why in the world, God, am I having to deal with it? Maybe y'all have never thought that. God, I'm giving and I'm serving, and I got laid off, but my boss, who doesn't acknowledge you, he's still working. God, what in the world's going on? What's going on? What I've learned about God is this. God will position us to be able to identify his sovereignty. The earlier you're able to identify that God is sovereign, that's when peace will come into your life. The Bible says it this way. He says, I'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. So when all hell is breaking loose, you'll still be able to rest because you know that God is sovereign. And if God has done it, he's going to bring you through it. But you have to trust that God is a sovereign God. He's sovereign. He's sovereign.
So I believe now, I believe, because see, you have to watch this. It's in chapter number 6 when you read earlier, there's a conversation that happens, and the Lord's saying now, in one, he says he made some stuff and it was good. He made some stuff the second day and it was good. The third day was good. The fourth day was good. And then he got to the day that he made man and he said, let's make him in our image. And he said, it's good. But then in chapter number 6, if you read the scripture, it says that God was in a position where he started to hate the fact that he created man. Think about that for a minute. Day number 7, let's make him in our image, and it's good. But then in chapter 6, he hated the fact that he created man. But watch this. A couple verses later, he said, Noah found favor. Listen, you may be in a season of uncertainty right now, but I stopped by here to tell you that God's about to give you favor. You're about to go into a city. Yeah, that's a great place to clap. We clap real loud right there. You're in a position where God is getting ready to position you so that favor is going to meet everything that you've been seeking after. The things that have kept you up late at night, your kids are going to fall in line because of what she's doing. Your finances are going to fall in line because of what God has said. Promises are going to happen simply because you began to believe the word of God and the truth of it. Noah found favor. So a whole generation, all of us that are sitting here, we're here because Noah found favor. Because Noah found favor. But the thing about God, I believe that what gave God the favor to grant to Noah was the fact that he understood that God was sovereign. Anybody believe God's sovereign? Can I do something real quick? I'm going to ask that question again, and before you clap, before you say amen, listen to my follow-up question. Do you really believe that God is sovereign? The follow-up question is, if you really believe he's sovereign, then why are you worrying? If you really believe that God is sovereign, why not rest? If you really believe that the God that you serve is a sovereign God, he controls every aspect of the universe, why are you staying up late at night wondering how in the world your bills are going to be paid? If you believe that God is sovereign, why in the world are you worried about the fact that they said the cancer has shown back up? If God is sovereign, then that must mean that if the cancer came back, that must mean that God wants to use it, that he might be glorified. I wish I had some people that'll shout better than I'm preaching. You have to accept the fact that God is sovereign. Point number one, as we try to hurry to a close, because we got something we want to do at the end, and I don't want to prolong today. Point number one, if I want to put it in an actual text, it says, to settle the uncertainties in one's life, you have to accept God's sovereignty. The only way you will go through a season of uncertainty and have peace is accepting the fact that God's sovereign. There's no other way in the world that you can make it through the season that you're in of uncertainty and not accept that God's sovereign. Because what will happen is this. You will trust in somebody else, but as soon as they let you down or don't measure up to your expectations, your worrying will show back up. But my prayer partner, she prayed for me, and I believe that everything's well, and she prayed that I'll go to the doctor and he'll give me a great report, but then that wasn't what the Lord did. So now you find yourself worried again. And it's all because instead of accepting God's sovereignty, you accepted man's word. So Noah, and I'm almost done. I'm not going to keep you long. So Noah was in a position where he had to trust God's word. Can you imagine? Some people probably walked by and said, Noah, you're crazy. Gopher wood? What is gopher wood? I still don't know. What are you doing? I'm trusting his word. But shouldn't you wait till we see a cloud show up that, like, shows us that it's going to rain? No, I'm trusting his word. this week, as you go to your season of uncertainty, when you walk on your job and you're not sure if you're going to be in that crew that's going to be laid off, go in facing it with God's word. Go in trusting that God's sovereign. Go in not worried about what man may say, but go in knowing that God is a sovereign God. Trust God as opposed to man's word. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. He can't direct your path if you don't believe he's sovereign. I've been through some heartaches and pains, and I believe that every one of those steps were ordained by the Lord. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So if I go through a storm, that must mean that he's going to take me through the storm because he wants to do something in the middle of it. So this morning, I want you to embrace your uncertainty. Know that God's word is bigger than your uncertainty. Point number two. Uncertainty mismanaged leads to depression and anxiety. Uncertainty mismanaged. Because see, listen, point number three is going to be real good. Hopefully y'all will shout on point number three. We got the cake in the oven. It's baking. Hopefully when we pull it out, you'll be excited about it. But uncertainty mismanaged leads to depression and anxiety. I'm going to say it again until you get it. Because somebody, they're depressed right now. You've made it to church, but you came to church depressed. Some of you, you've made it to church, but you're dealing with anxiety. You made it here. You pressed your way here, and you were wondering if God was going to even say anything worthwhile. But God is saying, listen, your uncertainty has been mismanaged. That's why depression has shown up. That's why it showed up. Because watch it. So if God's sovereign and I go through a storm and I know that God is in control of the storm, then I don't get depressed because of the storm. I trust God through the midst of the storm. When I believe that God is sovereign and I go through uncertainty, I don't get anxious about the outcomes because I know that he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's already seen the end, so all I have to do is trust him. So if you're depressed or anxious, your uncertainty has been mismanaged. You got to get to a place. So think about it. So when Noah was on this ark, and the rain has now shown up, and he's cruising along, and he's being tossed from side to side. Watch this part. He let the raven out. So this is where that season of uncertainty was for him. He let the raven out, and the raven went out. He said, okay, well, I didn't get the response that I wanted. So then he let the dove out. And the dove went out, and he came back with an olive branch. He said, okay, well, it may not be time. Now, watch this. Noah could have then got anxious. God, when are you going to do it? God, when is it going to show up? God, is it going to happen? God, I don't think it's ever going to happen. God, I shouldn't have trusted you. I should have listened to them. I'm talking about to the depressed people now. God, I should have listened to my neighbors when they told me I lost my mind. I should have listened to my father when he told me that it wasn't going to work out. I should have listened to my coworkers that said, well, you should have left the job when you had an opportunity. You start to listen. Well, maybe I should have went and got a second opinion from another doctor because they said this doctor's reviews wasn't that good online. See, we're a different generation, y'all. We're a different generation. We'll go online and look for anything. Google. Somebody said Google. Listen, Google, I love Google is heaven and hell. Google will teach you to be a millionaire and broke in the same search. How to make money, how to lose money. Okay, all right, let me go back to the point. All right. So what happens is, in this season of uncertainty, Noah didn't get depressed. He didn't get anxious. He trusted God. He said, God, you're sovereign. And when the dove doesn't return, then I know it's time. I'm not going to rush it. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to trust you. Because even in this season of uncertainty, I believe that you're still God. Even though everything around me is trying to convince me otherwise, I still believe that you're God. Anybody still believe that he's God? I'm talking about you really believe that he's God. In the midst of the storms that you're going through, you still believe that he's God. Yeah, I still believe he's God. I still believe he's God. Children strung out, but I still believe he's God. Marriage falling apart, but I still believe he's God. Health fading away, but I still believe he's God. Yeah, I still believe he's God. I still do. I still do. Job said it this way, yet though he slay me, yet will I trust him, because I believe he's still God. He's still God. He's still God. Let me give you the last point so we can get ready to get out of here. I told you this is the best part, so if you guys don't shout, I promise you I'm not coming back again. I'm not coming back. So now Noah's at a place where he's getting ready, the door's getting ready to open. 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 The window was so high he couldn't really see out. But now the door's getting ready to open. Verse number 7, chapter number 7, it says that the Lord closed the door. But then 8, he remembered him. Yeah. They must want me to come back. So the door's getting ready to open. The Lord just remembered you. In the middle of all of the heartache and pain you've been through, he just remembered you. The sleepless nights, he just remembered you. The tears falling down on your pillow, he remembered you. In the midnight hours when you are fasting and praying, the Lord remembered you. And the door's getting ready to open. The door's getting ready to open. The door's getting ready to open. It's getting ready to open. It's getting ready to open. The door's getting ready to open. Just know that. The door's getting ready to open. The door's getting ready to open. In Psalms, it says that all of our tears, he's bottled them up. So if you can imagine if this was individual tears, he even knows how many is in here. Everyone that you shared, everyone that you shared, he caught it in a bottle. And now he's getting ready to open up the door. Listen, listen, if you manage your season of uncertainty the right way, the Bible says, grow not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap a harvest if you faint not. That's a sign that the door is getting ready to open. The Lord remembered Noah, and he opened up the door. And Noah was able to see something that he had never seen before. Everything was wiped away. The water subsided. It says a great wind came and pushed the water back. I want you to hear this and I'm done. Hear this and I'm done. I promise you. Hear this. Because this is what the Lord is saying. In the book of Acts, there was a mighty rushing wind. The mighty rushing wind could only come when they were on one accord. The water that has come, the wind couldn't be released. Watch this. Because you didn't believe that God was sovereign. When you really accept God's sovereignty, you become on one accord with God. And when you become on one accord with God, then a wind is getting ready to come. And all the heartache that you've been through, the wind is going to come and it's going to push all of it away. It's going to be pushed away. And I promise you, when he pushes it away this time, what's going to be revealed underneath the water? It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. The Lord works best in uncertainty. Yeah, y'all shouted earlier, so you don't have to shout right now. The Lord works best in uncertainty. Because it's in uncertainty that God gets to prove his sovereignty. You don't know how to do it. Because if you did, you would have did it a long time ago. So when you reach the end of the rope and there's nothing else that you can do, the Lord is going to open up the door. And he's going to prove to you that he never stopped being God.